Swearing, smut, filth, sexual innuendo, or anything LGBTQI++ related, then please fuck off now. If you're still here, strap on in, pun intended, and enjoy the ride. Oh, hi there, Ellie.
Hi, Sam. How you doing?
I'm good. We are here today with Jerome, who works in my school. We both work in a school in London. And he is the head of our Pride group at school. How are you doing, Jerome?
I'm good, guys. How lovely to see you.
Lovely to see you too. Ooh, I miss you so much. It's so weird not going into school.
Yeah, very, very strange. I'm very happy to be here. And I've been loving listening to all your podcasts.
Thank you for listening.
Well done.
So the reason that we've got you on today is because we'd like to talk to you about the Pride group that you set up at our school.
Okay.
Tell us a little bit about what the Pride group is and kind of what its mission is.
Okay. So we started the Pride group at our school in the autumn term, around sort of October half term, I think it was, Sam. And initially, we didn't really know what direction the children would want it to be. So we had a couple of focus groups where we talked about availability, staff availability, when children wanted it. And the general consensus at the time initially was that we would meet twice a month. But once we started, they actually wanted it more. So we now run every Friday because there's such a need for it. We have about just short of 20 young people, LGBTQ young people in our school. Mainly they're all there every Friday. It was started as a safe space for both staff and young people to get together, share ideas, be who they want to be, as a support group, really. We've been showing films. We've been showing LGBT films to some of the young people who may not have heard or seen some of the films. We've done some charity work. We've been working with the Rainbow Cards Project, where we made LGBT themed cards and posted them out to young people who may have been isolated because of their sexuality by their families. And the children in school absolutely loved doing that. They got their creative juices flowing. It was great, lots of glitter. We have started to do some work, some investigations into which charities we'd like to work with and how we can slowly start building up our own sort of income, sort of raising money through sort of cake sales and things like that, charity drives. But I think we're a long way off from that. It will happen. I would say probably in the next academic year, we will be in a better position to do things like that. It's just a space where children can come and share their experiences, for them to feel like we are listening, we understand. Some days we just play games and have a great time and just relax listening to music. But yeah, that's in a nutshell, that's what we're about and what we're doing, what we have been doing so far.
How did you recognize that that was something that would really help the school? What drove you to that conclusion?
So on a personal level, I went to school in South Africa. It was a convent school run by German nuns.
Wow.
So, you know, being gay And even talking about being gay wasn't something that was even remotely close to their radar. I mean, I've always known. But throughout my school career, I felt completely isolated, you know, very scared of people finding out the truth about me. And I just felt ashamed. Well, I think that's the right word. I really did sort of come to believe that I had to feel ashamed of who I really was. And looking back, I would have done anything to have had a space like the group we have in our school, where people can just come and even, we have some young people who just come and don't say very much, but just love being a part of the buzz.
Yeah, and we have some kids that come along that aren't LGBT, who are just like,
allies, yeah.
They come along as well. And that's so lovely to see that they're being supported by their friends, isn't it?
Yeah. It really is. So yeah, I mean, on a personal level, when I started at the school, and I've only just joined, started working in the school since September last year. And when I joined, I've had a real sense of this is something I need to do.
Yeah.
You know, for all the young people in our school, not just the LGBT children, but for all our young children. So I work in the safeguarding team. So some of the children that I work with may not necessarily be LGBT themselves, but come from a family that have LGBT members. And for them to feel like their reality is okay is really, really important, because we still, unfortunately, we still have a lot of stigma from Section 28 that is still prevalent in so many schools.
And that would have lived in a time where Section 28, they grew up in that time. So, you know, when you've got young people who are there with parents who did, you know, were sheltered from the realities of LGBTQ society, it was so shut away and don't talk about it, don't promote it, it doesn't exist. And you know, Maggie Thatcher completely basically destroyed us as a community, which also destroyed the generations that went to education during that time. So it really does,
yeah, absolutely, it scarred a huge generation of people. And still, you can feel the damage it has done. We still have, as much as we've made strides in the last couple of years, we've still got a long way to go, because it's still very prevalent in schools.
I think it was so important that you set that group up. Like, I've worked at our school for 6 years, and although like all of the teachers who are LGBT are supported to like be out, it was very much like we would talk about our lives rather than the students having a safe place to talk about theirs. So it was kind of like, yeah, we have these role models, but we can't actually talk about ourselves. And so I think that's really amazing that they now have this safe space where they can be themselves and talk about what's going on in their life. And it's, you know, it's an absolutely safe space for them.
Yeah, and I think that's the other thing that's really important. It's, we have, I mean, how many staff members have we got in part of our group?
6 or 7, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I just think back to when I was in school, I had very few role models, positive role models that I could look up to, or not even just look up to, just talk to, or just, you know, learn from their experiences. And I think that's what's so nice about this group. Everybody brings something so different to it. You know, even when we talk about, when we're discussing the different films that we want to show, everybody's got so many different ideas of films that have influenced them. And it's really good, because we've got such a broad spectrum between us all, to provide some kind of positive influence for these young people.
Yeah, and like all of the different subjects that the teachers bring, they can kind of almost bring their LGBT background. Like we had one of the RE teachers come in and talk about religion and how religion perceives homosexuality. And then we also had people talk about like gay icons and sporting people, and just it's giving our history a voice rather than it being something that they have to go and research themselves. Like,
exactly. We also had one of our maths teachers come in and talk about Alan Turing and his role in the war. So it was looking at as Sam said, the subjects that they learn on a day-to-day basis, but from a completely different angle. So for example, the idea was, unfortunately, it happened around when we locked down. We were going to do the talk around Alan Turing, and then the following week we were going to watch the film Imitation Game. But because of lockdown, we couldn't quite do that. Yeah, and we also have a history teacher who has done posters for LGBT History Month with all of the children, and that was using sort of gay icons and sort of drawing up a sort of portrait of the person, and with a little bit of history. So that's up around the school, so that everyone can see and learn. Not just it's not just Intula and not just our group.
Yeah, and we watched the film Milk, didn't we? And
yes, and you talked about Milk, didn't you?
Yeah, and I just think it's. Oh, I just wish I had that at school. Like, although I didn't go to school in South Africa, like, I went to a very conservative, very white school where, you know, it wasn't spoken about. And yeah, had terrible shame about being gay, and took me years and years and years to undo that. And coming to work at our school has just change me as a person, because I can be myself on a daily basis, and I never felt like that I could be that when I was at school. So I just think it's kind of like the progression. It's like the teachers were out and talked to the kids, and now the kids have this amazing safe space to ask for support or share good news or just be themselves, and you can see how happy they are.
Yeah, you can.
And in this day and age, like, schools being so pro, you know, it's not just tolerant of the LGBTQ community, but your school is pro, you know, it really does promote people being individuals, being themselves, and to have teachers who are out with the kids is huge. And in this day and age, it shouldn't be, but I don't know other schools that allow that and, you know, are so engaging and, you know, honest and raw with it, and actually have those conversations with the kids, and for the kids to ask whatever questions they feel that they want to know the answers to. It is, I visited at the school and been part of the Zoom calls with the social distancing when I'm available, and you know, it's just amazing to see. It really does mean a lot to them for their week to feel like they can be them and authentically themselves. Is I love seeing it, and well done for doing
that. I also
that.
Think it's so important for them to have a sense of community, because I think the internet's amazing, but I think like the gay spaces that we probably had when we were growing up don't exist as much because of apps like Grindr and all of those kind of it's great that you can meet gay people really, really quickly, but you don't have those places where you can go and just make friends. And I think it's almost like this space is like back to the old school of like when you used to go to a gay bar and you'd know a couple of people in it, and then you would talk to them. It's that kind of space. It's so lovely.
Yeah.
It's like going to Sparkles in Gran Canaria.
Sorry, say again?
It's like going to Sparkles in Gran Canaria or going to one of the gay bars in Gran Canaria. It's just...
Yeah, it's a sense of belonging, isn't it? As much as we have been infiltrating sort of normal society, which is great, sometimes it's just nice especially for those young people who haven't come out to their families or don't really talk about it, for them to have that space where they can just know that they belong is so important. It's so important. I also feel like the tide is definitely changing. I mean, with the government regulations that came into place, September 2019, about all schools having to now teach relationships and sex education in secondary schools and relationship education in primary schools. It's now forcing those schools that haven't been doing anything to do it. So, I mean, that comes into place September this year, 2020, when it will actually come into full effect. But that will make subject teachers build into curriculum LGBT history, LGBT icons, so that not only our LGBT students are learning from them, but everybody's learning from it. And that's the important part about it. It's the tolerance and the acceptance that everybody is going to be getting from September, which is amazing, I think.
Especially when, you know, most of the gay and lesbian friends I've got have all come from straight couples. So even if those children themselves aren't gay themselves, their siblings could be, their parents could be, and they may well have children that are. And, you know, to have that tolerance built in from throughout their education will really make a difference in society in another 10, 20 years' time.
And
people will see that there have been gay people all the way through history. It's not like a new phenomenon, like we haven't just suddenly appeared in the last 50 years. Like, it's been the whole time. And I think that will make people more aware of, oh, actually, this is just normal. Like,
I think the generation of primary school children from now will definitely see a positive change for those young people. I mean, what do you guys think about your bringing a baby into this world and going into primary education where it is so open and so widely spoken about?
I think if our kid was going to school in London, I would be less worried about it, if I'm being honest. I think it really does depend on how the primary schools react to this new legislation. But I'm less worried about, like, the school and the teachers and the kids that go to that school. I'm more worried about the parents. And how they kind of, because a child will come home and ask a question, won't they, to their parent. I think it's how their parent responds to that. That's what I'm most, not like worried about, but I'm like, what are they going to say?
Yeah.
But I also think it's our job as our child's parents to educate their friends' parents as well. So, you know, if we think, I don't know, they look at us funny in the playground, or we've heard some of the, you know, our kid comes back and says that one of the other children's been particularly nasty about them having two mums, you know, we can then go, okay, who are their parents, and maybe have a chat to them in the playground, and, you know, for them to realise that we're normal people, we kind of work, we have normal backgrounds, we're not kind of scary thing, and actually get them to realise that we are hopefully nice people, and that they can, you know, be friends with us and then educate themselves. So
yeah,
I see it more as a challenge for challenging their thoughts, behaviours, and worrying that, you know, the world's place and they're all going to hate us. We need to do something about it.
The positive is, by the time your baby gets to school age, this will all be in full force. You know, it will be fully operational, and by then hopefully it won't be a problem. I mean, you're always going to get one or two people that are not going to be okay with it, but I feel by the time your baby's ready to go to school, hopefully it shouldn't be an issue,
and the resistance will be over, because, you know, there's the school, was it in Birmingham, that had horrendous activisms, and, you know, people outside protesting, and actually it transpired that a lot of those people didn't even have kids at the school, and it was just a kind of general hate and homophobia.
I read an article that said about 60% of the population were were pro primary schools being taught about relationships.
But I think this is like, if you look at, I don't know, maybe like the late 70s, early 80s, when kind of, how to say it, like black people would date white people and then people would have a problem with that and then they would have
interracial relationships.
Yeah, interracial. I'm looking for. And then they would have a child and then there would be the stigma around that. Or if someone was a single, you know, like a single mum or a single dad, like that used to be a really big thing. And I think it's just, this is just like the next progression of things, isn't it? Like having two mums or having two dads is totally fine. Or if your dad decides to transition and become a woman and you have another mum, and like these are the, this is like the next level of things, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And educate themselves, and effectively the government and you guys as educators are the people who are breaking down those barriers and ensuring that people do understand and that they are tolerant. And it's,
well, yeah, I think if you look at the kind of demographic of our parents, like you would think it would never work, a group of teachers talking about, you know, their sexuality or being out or whatever. But like when I proposed to you, I had so many parents come and congratulate me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a thing because they knew me, and it wasn't like, oh, that teacher's a lesbian, her name is Sam. It's like, that's Sam.
Might want to say to the podcast listeners how you did that, because you literally used the pupils to help.
I don't even know if Jerome knows how I proposed to you.
I don't.
Oh, so Jerome, so Jerome, you know the playground at our school? The current year 13s that are leaving, they were in year 11, and I got them, we got all of the cones in the school and put them into a heart shape on the playground with a netball.
Yeah.
And then we wrote out, will you marry? And then I lay on the floor, and then one of the teachers went up to the balcony on the top floor and took a picture of me. And that's how I proposed to Ellie.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
The jury's still out as to whether it actually is Sam. So I'm just like, I'm if all goes to up, I'll just pretend it was someone else who's laid there.
It was the best PE lesson ever, because I basically just got all the year 11s to help me propose.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, how wonderful.
Their parents, and then all their parents came in and were like, oh my God, did she say yes? Da, 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 da. So it was just
that's really excellent.
Lovely. It was so lovely. But it's the same with like being pregnant. Like I've had so many parents and pupils since lockdown started email me and be like, congratulations, this is amazing. Like if you'd have said that to me 6 years ago before I worked at our school, I would have just laughed in your face. I would have been like, that's never going to happen. But yeah.
Yeah, it's becoming... It's normal, and that's how it should be.
Absolutely. So how did you end up kind of coming to terms with your sexuality and coming out to your friends and family, and how did that go?
So I grew up in a very staunch Catholic home. So it was very difficult. But when I finished school, I moved cities. So I went to university in Johannesburg, away from my family. And at that time, the distance actually helped. You know, I had to sort of find my own feet in terms of I was living on my own. In an apartment, had to learn how to cook. You know, my mum always did that for me, washing, cleaning, all of that, which was just a new, a whole brand new experience. And unbeknownst to my parents, the flat that they found for me was actually behind the biggest gay club at the time in Johannesburg. I mean, it was meant to be, wasn't it? It was just absolutely meant to be. So, I mean, within 6 months of me moving, I had sort of found this club, found myself, and I was out within 6 months. Went back to Durban, where my parents lived, and told them. And it was hard. It was a tricky, I'd say, 2 or 3 years, which was really difficult. I mean, mum came to grips with it much quicker than dad. My dad really struggled for a long time. But I think a lot of it was to do with the Catholic Church, very much so, because dad was like the chairman of our parish and mum runs the rosary group, so like proper, very staunch sort of background. But then quite soon after that, I met my partner. And again, that was quite tricky because he was white, so interracial relationship, gay. So it caused a lot of difficulty, especially with dad on many different levels. But they got to know us as a couple. Again, the distance helped because we weren't living in the same town as them. We felt more comfortable to be ourselves because they weren't around. And when we did go and see them for some weekends, it was in small doses, so it helped them get used to the idea. And now they're fine. Now it's absolutely fine.
Did they ultimately realise that your happiness was kind of the main thing that they were?
Yeah, and it wasn't just a phase.
Yeah. Are you sure? How long have you guys been together now?
So we met in 2001, so 19 years.
Wow. And are you guys married?
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Wow.
And we got married in South Africa.
Did your families all go?
No, so actually, weirdly enough, we didn't have any family. I think Graham had one of his cousins there, but it was a very small wedding and we had 24 people. But we literally, Graham proposed on the Thursday and the wedding was the following Wednesday.
Wow. And
it happened really, really quickly. And strangely enough, the date that we set, we managed to get, so we got a local preacher to come and do the ceremony for us in our garden. And the date that we accidentally chose was actually my parents' wedding anniversary, and they were on a cruise just off Mozambique, so I couldn't get hold of them. So by the time they got back, we're like, yeah, we're married. And so yeah, it was fine. I think in hindsight, our families were a bit annoyed with us for doing it without them. But at the time, the general feeling for Graham and I was that we, as much as we would have loved them to be there, we didn't want to feel uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we had our first kiss as a married couple, we didn't want to feel uncomfortable about it because Graham's mom was in the front row. Do you know what I mean? It kind of, in a way, we did it on our own speed and it kind of was the best. It was just our closest friends, it was a short ceremony, and it was a great big old knees up afterwards.
Perfect. Love it.
Oh,
that's awesome. Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
And then you moved to the UK.
Yeah. Yeah, we came to the UK 2008, end of 2008. That's always been on the cards. So Graham's mum was actually born here. She's English. She was born in Liverpool, but went to Africa when she was very young. So it's always been on the cards from the time we met.
Or did your family move to South Africa or?
So I was born in South Africa, yeah. So my parents are third generation Indian, yeah. And Graham and I met in South Africa, but then we emigrated over here together in 2008.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow, and now you're influencing the young people over here. How cool is that?
and loving it. Yeah, this is our new home, so yeah, this is home.
Oh, very, very glad that you came to work at our school. I literally remember seeing you on like the first day when we went back in September, and I was like, oh my god, I have to speak to that man. literally, she then came back when she had spoken to you, was like, oh my God, I love Jerome, he's amazing.
Oh, and the meeting was mutual, Sam, absolutely.
Oh, you're just like a ray of light, like whatever's going on, you're just like one of those, what is it, a swan, when you're calm on the top and then like there's loads of things.
I often don't feel like that. I'm glad it looked like it.
Yeah, it does. And you've just brought such a lovely energy to our school, and like Pride, just the Pride group, it just makes me so happy. It's like one of the kids said the other day, didn't they, on the Zoom call, oh, I can't miss Pride. I can't miss this Pride group. It's the best thing about lockdown.
Yeah, and some of the kids who are due to go to university are still gutted that they're going to be potentially leaving the Pride group when
they go
to school. And yes,
we're going to miss them. We are definitely going to miss them. But we will have new young people that will join us. We'll bring completely different dynamic to the group. And yeah, I think we will embrace it. And as I've said to all of the sixth form students that are leaving, I said, well, you'll always be welcome to come back and talk to us about your experiences and how, what life is like for you post school.
Yeah.
So, I think the young people will be interested to hear those experiences, because it's hearing from their peers.
Yeah. First-hand people they know that have gone out into the big wide world.
Rather than us old fogies.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it feels like we are kind of helping and equipping them to be able to find healthy relationships, you know, understanding what a healthy consensual relationship will look like and what that means. So they're not going out there like I did without knowing a single thing.
Same.
We've all been there.
Hey, my first week of university, I went and met a girl off the internet in Brighton Station. Didn't tell anyone where I was going because nobody had talked to me about being safe.
Exactly. And I think the reason I was so wild and so naughty when I left school was because I was so sheltered from it all. So I literally went to the opposite end of the spectrum and was just out partying and being very naughty.
Sometimes it's a rite of passage though. You've just got to get through that.
I can't imagine you being naughty, Jerome.
Oh, Sam, I was naughty.
Oh, good. I love it.
Well, thank you so much for chatting to us. And
thank you for having me on. I've loved this.
Yeah, we loved it too.
Awesome chatting to you, Jerome, and thank you for being a part of this and for everything that you do just generally with the school. It's amazing.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's nice to be recognized for all the work that we do. It's fun. It's great fun, and we love doing it. I also just to remember that I'm not doing it on my own. I have loads of very helpful staff and friends around me that pull this all together and make this all possible. So thank you too.
That was awesome speaking to Jerome. He's such a lovely man.
Yeah, we're very privileged to have had him on our podcast. So thank you very much, Jerome.
Thanks, Jerome. And thanks for all the work that you're doing in schools. We really hope that people like you are in every school and are doing their bit. So thanks for all your efforts. It's incredible. So it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
Latest, my lovers! Thanks for listening to Spill the LGBT. We hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you haven't done so already, please rate, review, share and subscribe, as that helps other listeners find this podcast. For you fabulous, positive, constructive people, feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Instagram. There you can help give us topics, link us to exciting people to speak with or interview, or give us things to discuss in future episodes. This is a podcast for our community, so want it to be engaging. Thanks very much. Laters, my lovers.